signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
Howdy there, patriots and socialist dispensers. It is that time, your weekly dose of red pill politics. I am your opinionated and abrasive host, Dave Runs with Scissors Kopasz, and it is my pleasure to be spending this Independence Day episode with all y'all. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you folks on Saturday nights, and no exception tonight. But on Independence Day, I was wondering how I was going to title tonight's show. I put out a live stream at the same time, kind of multicasting here, if you will. And we put out a live stream of the RBN broadcast here every Saturday. And I encourage folks to not only like and share and contribute at republicbroadcasting.org, which you should be doing regularly because this is listener supported. But if you want to get actively involved, and this is something with a lot of the content I put out there in live streams, I really consider this a participation sport. All right, so feel free to head over to Rumble, where you'll find the Red Pill Politics channel, and feel free to jump in there to contribute, because I'd like these videos to kind of travel as a resource. All right, Republic Broadcasting, you know, they make this easy, so you can go there and find shows, share them around, encourage people, because it's in a format where people can download, they could download a week's worth of shows on their thumb drive, and it's mobile. We can share it with everybody and get the word out, and that's what this is all about. But with the video streams, we want those to travel as a resource together so that you'll be able to, find the source links and have contributions from the audience as well. That's always nice to have. So feel free to jump in over on the text chat there. And, of course, check out the programming schedule at republicbroadcasting.org. There's bound to be stuff there that you like. And I really have to encourage you to check out the other programmers. I definitely want you tuned in here Saturday. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pushing the peeps away. I'm trying to share some other resources for you because things change right under our feet daily. Things are getting pretty tense out there. And gaining situational awareness is something that we need to be focused on here. There's so much to talk about that it's impossible for me to cover it in a two-hour weekly broadcast. So please go check out the other programmers, get plugged into what's going on out there, and know your enemy. All right, I have come to the conclusion that we are a nation of sheeple that don't even really know when they're under attack. We're such an entertainment-based society. We are plugged in maximizing our entertainment. All right, what little thing in this little tiny little minute moment, what can I do on my cell phone to entertain myself? You know, when you get home, what do you do? How tethered are you to your television and your stuff? And what do you do when you're there? The internet's a wonderful thing. Double-edged sword for sure, but a wonderful thing. For those in the right mind, you can gain some situational awareness pretty quick. You got to be judicious in where you get your information from, no doubt about that, especially now. but the access like never before. And it's a double-edged sword for the powers that be, too. And I think they forecasted that to a great extent. And you see what they're doing and how they're reacting to it right now. You literally are being criminalized for thinking alternatively. Right? In a nation that was supposed to be born out of the spirit of liberty, the thirst for liberty, independence, to not be surveilled by your government and constantly revenued upon. There's a whole list of stuff here tonight. I wasn't sure whether I was almost going to, and I might do it for tomorrow night. So I do a broadcast with Wifey Poo on Sundays. And I may title that one what I was going to title tonight's show. All right, you know, and I have to, you know, as I stand back, I often say this, you know, you got to step back sometimes and try to see the, you know, the trees through the forest. And, you know, is this a celebration or is this a memorial? The 4th of July. What does that now mean to us? I mean, there's a whole lot of fanfare. Everyone talks about barbecuing and they get their flags all out at the off their porch and, you know, they wish each other happy 4th of July. But it should be Independence Day and it should be every day. Happy 5th of July. Happy 6th of July. Happy 7th of July. All right, independence is something that should be celebrated daily. The vigilance should be eternal, nonstop, persistent. We might have to put down some of those entertainment gadgets of ours, or at least use them properly. As constant vigilance is what was required to keep our government from cannibalizing us, giving us away to the globalists and the elite, which is precisely what they've done. And it's bad and getting worse. We got some good news. I'm going to touch on a couple of things tonight that were good. Some stuff out of the Supreme Court, other than Roe v. Wade, something that goes after their green agenda. Yeah. We'll be talking about a few of these things. That there, they pulled all the stops out on. All right, this energy, I've given you the Kissinger quote before, and I'm sure you've all heard it. So you know the importance of energy, the importance of food, and the importance of money, and what you can control when you control each of those. Well, we're going to talk more about that. We got calls already. I want to make sure we get through as many of these tonight as we can. Looks like we've got Andy from Texas. How are you tonight, Andy?
Hey, Dave, thank you for taking my phone call. I sure appreciate it. You know, I really didn't mean to make that phone call quick because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you got to say that people need to hear. You're not just rumbling on. I mean, a lot of us are listening to you and we're like, wait a minute, this is the last show of the night, blah, blah, blah. They're saying this, blah, blah, blah. No, Dave, you're saying stuff that people need to hear. And the stuff that we need to hear is everything I'm going to say tonight is something that people need to hear. I mean, when it comes to these people coming across our borders and they're getting these little credit cards and whatnot, we don't know how much money's on there. We don't know how much of a beautiful world these people are being able to live in, you know, just because they're coming here.
Give our elected officials, our public servants, giving them one red cent is trouble, is problematic. That is not what they were asked to do. The Constitution specifically plops right in their lap the responsibility, the proactive responsibility of naturalization. They've created policies and laws of naturalization that are fair and have our country's security in mind. In the states, they have a responsibility to defend their own borders. So immigration and naturalization are two different things, But I'm not going to let them off the hook, and they shouldn't be getting one red cent or cell phones or nice new T-shirts, none of that stuff.
Well, and unfortunately, Dave, they're getting all of that, and they're getting credit cards, they're buying cars. When they get where their destination is, they're buying houses, and all this stuff is paid for. And it's all because of this new... Look, this is not the United States anymore. We're no longer in the United States. We are in just a country, and we just happen to live here now. The United States, as it existed in the history books that you might have learned, or we might have learned, the way this thing came about, that's not what's going on anymore. Everything has gone upside down, and we are stuck in the middle of it. And now we have to decide, because they're coming after our guns. They're always coming after our guns. Everything they're doing is coming after our guns. And the only reason why they're coming after our guns is because at some point they're gonna want something from us that we're not gonna willing to give them, and we're gonna want to shoot them, because that's why they want the guns. They don't want us to be able to shoot them when they decide to do. And we already have probable cause and everything we need at this particular point to shoot these people, hang them from light posts, just string them up everywhere. We have all of this right to do this right now, because these people, they're not for freedom, which is what this country is about. And again, I like the way that you stay with the Constitution.
They act and look, and even when they take to the microphone, they are above the law. I agree with you. I've often said I don't know how. I don't think you'd have to hang too many of them before the rest kind of snapped in line. But crimes are committed, and they're trying to make it a crime for us to bring that to daylight.
Yeah, let's hang Hillary Clinton. That in itself will throw some people. What? Holy crap, they hung Hillary Clinton. You know, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, because I got friends I hang out across the street, which takes me a block to get there. That's a long story. We won't go there. You know, it's just across the street, but a block and a half, whatever. Anyway, so I get there, and these people are watching this stupid trial of the Jan 6 BS. And I can't believe they were stupid enough to watch it, because, I mean, what's the number one thing that blows up in this? There's no defense. It's all prosecution.
It's not even a trial. It's not even
it's not even a trial. But these people across the street, because they're watching this TV, they, just like probably millions of Americans, are believing the BS that they're putting on the TV. And I don't know if they're catching it because they want to catch it, or it just happens to be like, you know, we think, oh, oops, I bumped into a TV show. We don't know if they're watching it, however they're watching it, but they are watching it. And they actually believe that this was an insurrection based on the trials. Now, we got that one lady who was...
situational awareness, they wouldn't even be wallowing into the weeds of the details of, you know, all the evidence they're putting up in their show trial. They'd be asking questions like, why is this little committee think it's got subpoena power? You know, they're really nothing but a committee. They create an opinion and share it with the public servants. So they don't
You got that. This is the big thing, and I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off, because really, this is the big thing. You got that woman who says she heard from a guy who heard from a guy who was in the front seat of the beast. And, you know, Donald Trump rides in the back seat. That's the beast. Yeah. And in between him and the person who's driving is a inch-thick, bulletproof, flipping piece of plastic. But this woman testified on this fake trial that Donald Trump reached through and tried to choke the car driver because he wouldn't take him to the Capitol. Now, how do you reach through a bulletproof? I don't know, whatever. Why even ask the question? It's stupid, but that's what they're saying.
You know, they made her out to be a complete liar, and rather going after her for perjury, you know, they'll just go on to the next theatrics and whatever window dressing they put up. But people remember that. That's the danger of these things, you know, is these charges, these lies show up on the front page of a million newspapers. And then when they're made out to be liars and they print a retraction, it's on page 11 of one. You know, and that the damage is done. People see and read that. They take it to heart. Like, good Lord, the, you know, these people in government couldn't possibly be lying to us. And they assume, because it was said on a microphone during a committee hearing, that it is factual. And if they ever did a true investigation, and I think you probably would agree with me on this, is that there may be evidence of an insurrection, but it would be the ones inside that that building that planned it.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, no, hey, so Mike, but on the same token, if we consider everything that's happened here, if we really consider everything that's happened here, we have to look at, none of this makes any sense to anybody who has any kind of sense in their head. I mean, if you got a brain cell that's dysfunctioning, you can see that January 6th was more of an insurrection by the government than it was by the people who were there. Four other people died during that day. Okay, it wasn't just Ashley Babbitt, and it wasn't the guy who had a heart attack later. There was four other people that died, and that was in a different area of the insurrection. And these people, the cops, started shooting flashbang grenades and then started shooting rubber grenades and then started macing people. And out of that conflict between these people, a guy named Jack Lang saved a black man, of all people. He saved a black man, and he pronounced himself as, "I'm a Jew." And they're trying to tell me that I'm a racist. And he's locked up in prison right now. And he's a Jew. He saved a black man. And so Jews have all this fucking hatred for, have all this hatred for all these people, why in the hell did he save a black man? He saved him. This guy's alive today because a Jewish guy, and that's not really the point of the story, but the fact of the matter is that these people are not telling you the story. Everything that's in this fake little prosecution of the January 6th, everything is a damn lie. They're not showing you anything to give you any kind of truth or any kind of, and I got proof of that because I hang out with people who have been watching this trial, and they really believe that it was an insurrection. They really believe it was worse than Pearl Harbor. It was worse than 9/11 because white people wanted to take the world over.
They got to unplug because there's, you know, there was a million people there. All right, there was.
There was a lot of people there.
I was one of them. All right, and I am not a...
Stabmiller was, too.
I'm not even a Republican. I went there because I happened to put in a series of public records requests in my state, and a bunch of my friends did as well. And we shared them all back again to have a look-see. And we did our own citizens audit, and red flags went off everywhere. I could not believe, and I'm not a trained auditor either. This was just a request of the voter list. The abnormalities stuck right out. So I went down there to voice my opposition to what appeared to be the death of our democracy. I know we're a republic, but we use democracy as a tool, and that democracy part is very sick right now. And that's why I was there. There were a lot of, I saw agitators that were not of us. I sat there, like I said, in a crowd of a million people after the gates went down, and there's a Capitol Police cruiser without a scratch on it. These people, by a million people, showed up to this so-called insurrection with snacky cakes and bottled water and phone chargers. Give me a break now. They know this. Yeah. It's coming out. It's all falling apart.
So let's say Donald Trump won. What's different?
Well, I don't think any one president. I said this with Ron Paul, and there's no presidential candidate that I ever fought harder for. But I was a realist about it, too. And I told people, you know, even if he became president, he is one man without the cooperation of a significant portion of Congress. There's only so much that he can do, or better yet, undo by executive order. You know, so we need a real cleaning of the whole system, don't you think? I don't think one.
Yeah, okay, so you believe that no matter, I'm just guessing now at this point, it doesn't matter who is our president. Give us DeSantis. Give us the knucklehead from some other place that's really cool. Give him that. It's still going to be the same thing, right? Because we're not governed by a president and a Congress and and a Senate. We're not governed by that. That's not how we're governed anymore. We're governed by what the UN wants. What these people above them. You know, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Bill Gates, these people. We're governed by them. We're not governed by a president. So does it really matter who's the president?
No. I mean, with all those foreign entanglements, the free trade agreements, many of these things are going to have to be disassembled. And it's going to take not only an executive, but it's going to take Congress as a whole to be clean and righteous to begin doing that. I mean, it really is. We've got radicals. The lunatics are running the asylum right now. I look at Republicans as largely impotent. They're just afraid to stand and make a bold stand and stand for something. And it shows because they just keep losing ground. And the Democrats have been taken over by the progressives, and they just keep redoubling down. So we're going to continue this jerky path down this slippery slope. Until there is I don't know if it's going to be civil unrest or what, but the solution will not come from those people. It's us.
So, Dave, let's pretend like they're actually going to let us have a red revolution in 2022 November. Okay, let's pretend like they're going to let us do that, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get some sort of second problem, whatever, people are dying everywhere, whatever their thing is, and they're going to lock us down and do this mail-in stuff. But let's presume that we do win. You get a red wave. Okay, so let's look at some of the people that Donald Trump endorsed, and let's go straight to Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, well, Dr. Oz.
People are happy about that.
Yeah. This is a guy fully endorsed by Donald Trump. I had to try to have this conversation with Kelso. Whatever. He wouldn't let me have it. That's cool. Whatever. But this guy, he's been on record. There's video of him saying that he really likes the way China locked down for COVID-19. Wait a minute. We saw the video. That wasn't a pretty cool show there. Then he also says that he's also in line with red flag laws, and he's like, nobody needs a gun. And he's on video saying this. This is a guy that Donald Trump endorsed. And so now we're all saying, let's endorse Donald Trump for 2024.
Yeah, look at how quickly he dumped all his references to Trump off his website. Like a very next day.
Yeah, right after he won the primary, he got rid of Trump. Gone, you're out of here. See ya. Nope. Bye-bye. Nope, you got me where I wanted to go. No, but, I mean, look, if we get Donald Trump, where are we at? Are we better off? No, the guy walked us into this damn COVID bullshit, the BS. And then all of a sudden he's a proponent for the shot that he was Warp Speed all about, and he stays with it for almost a year, and we're supposed to believe that if he's a president again that we're going to have a better time with this idiot, really?
This is something I said that even before he was elected, is that he may be and not be a lot of things, but one of the things that he would be lacking is to have discernment and know the people around him. He just didn't have situational awareness. I used that word when I started the show out. You know, he didn't know who the bad actors were. And I can point directly to an example right out of Massachusetts where Vince DeVito, he was the general counsel for the Mass GOP. He helped, you know, the likes of Mitt Romney and Coffey, yeah. Baker, all these bad apples he's been behind. Well, he wound up, we chased him out of here, thankfully, and he's a big Agenda 21 guy. I found a 2010 grant application to HUD where the Mass GOP General Counsel called out Agenda 21 as that landmark planning document, and his law firm specializes in suing municipalities who are not green enough. Well, this is the guy appointed to the Department of the Interior. An entire bloated
department
that shouldn't even exist. And he puts a big Agenda 21 guy like that, plugs him right in.
Yeah, but but we can't give him a pass. God damn. This guy ran for president, and he didn't know that there was people that might underseek him. He didn't know that there might be people that would try to upload a different idea about him than he's trying to project. He didn't know any of this stuff. We can't give him a pass on that. Look, if you're going to be the president of the United States, you got to step up and you got to understand that there's going to be people trying to undermine you. And look at the stupid BS that they actually got away with on the two times that they kicked his ass out of Congress, so to speak. That's BS. Mm. And none of that stood. There was nothing stood with the impeachments of Donald Trump. Nothing stood. It was just BS. And so we have to, why are we pretending as though as if this shit is real? Because none of it is real. None of it is real at all. This was all BS. Donald Trump was a forsakenness. They gave us a purge.
All right, well, I gave you the benefit of the doubt earlier in assuming that we were going to experience a red wave. Now, last week, I talked a little bit about this, and my feelings haven't really changed at all, is that I don't think this is a red wave. This is an anti-blue wave. The people that were motivated and energized and shocked away have done so out of fear that they were about to lose their republic. And the Republican Party is kind of in the way. The wave is heading right for the Democrats, and they're going to go right over the Republicans. The Republicans haven't done anything. So, I mean, what I would like to direct folks' attention to is what's going on in New Hampshire. Kind of an interesting little project going on. It's called The Resolve. If you go to We the People, NH, .org, I think it is. You got a whole layout for this, and it's an attempt by the grassroots, all right, those people that have had it with both establishment parties, are putting together a block vote. Some of the candidates have already announced. Some of them, they're keeping quiet. They're having their primary in, I think, August, and it's really gaining attention. And it's got everybody nervous, the establishment in both parties. The Democrats know that this group is coming after them. And the Republicans, they're saying, holy crap, our guys are in the way. Because everyone that the establishment put up is now at risk of losing. And this is gaining attention. So if
That's in New Hampshire?
Yes, it's in New Hampshire. It's called The Resolve. And it was spurred by a woman. She gained national notoriety there. She started out as one angry nurse, and it blew up into a...
It's nice to know people are stepping up.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Red Pill Politics. And it was hard to do, but it came down to
you. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Huh. homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
That'd be a short break. Welcome to Red Pill Politics. It's time for your weekly dose here, and we're only just getting started. Please do head over to republicbroadcasting.org, check out the program calendar, and do stop by on your way out. Hit that donation button because we are listener funded and every penny counts. All right, this is direct free market capitalism. All right, what do you get for your money? Well, you get unfiltered news. You get discussions that are free and open the way it's supposed to be, where there's no rock that will be left unturned. We've got a government that's got a whole bunch of rocks out there they don't want us to look under. They're trying to make it against the law to question them. In a country who this weekend, and in particular this Monday, is going to be celebrating its independence. Notice the inflection in my voice. You know, are we celebrating independence, or are we in the midst of a memorial? I don't know. We're going to try to find out, though. Do we still have Andy on the line?
Yes, you do, sir.
All right, Andy, what do you think? Final thoughts? Are we celebrating?
Yeah.
Or are we in the midst of a memorial here? What do you think?
Yeah, we're definitely in the midst of a memorial. I don't think anybody realizes that. Everybody thinks it's July 4th. No, it's not. It's Independence Day. People are missing the entire point of July 4th. They think it's a big party day. It's a day off, and everybody gets to do this and have hot dogs and whatnot. But it's about Independence Day, and that doesn't matter anymore, right, Dave? Why should it matter? It doesn't matter to anybody. Why? Because we're well beyond that. And now we've got, you know, drag queen story time and all these other people that are, you know, they got a whole month for their gay pride parade and all that stuff, and your veterans get one day. And now we got 4th of July, our independence, we get one day. And then, but the drag queens and the faggots, they get an entire month. You know, well, you and know, black awareness, they get an entire month too, so.
We got ourselves in a big heap of trouble by constantly wallowing in the weeds and talking about the details of their craziness. All right, we should just come out early and do a quick check and say, okay, government, hold on, hold it right there, and really quickly go over to Article 1, Section 8 and see if there's anything in there that's listed that is actually their job to do, and if not. You know, is whatever it is that they're doing, is there harm, injury, or loss to life, liberty, or property that is being done out there? Is there some miraculous way that you figured out how to protect the constitutional rights, the God-given rights under the Constitution to every individual in this country? And it's never that. It's like why we're about to, $800 million is about to be proposed to send over to Ukraine again.
Yeah.
We decided we've got interest over there, American interest. We got to protect American interest. So elements of government seem to have interest over there. And no longer do they have to come to the voters to spend. We got a Federal Reserve that will just hit the button and just keep printing more money as soon as someone there from that building tells them to. You know, there's no limits. They're off their leash. I hope there's a way. It takes most of them out.
So, Dave, I'll leave you with this. What did George W. Bush say? He said the Constitution is just the goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah.
Does that tell you enough? That's all we need to know, right? And that's where we're at. Because it is a GD piece of paper.
Was it 2 weeks ago Biden said that the Constitution is not absolute and the Second Amendment is not absolute? They're completely unfit to serve these characters. And Biden's illegitimate anyways. That's why people come up to me and ask me to get involved in impeach Biden effort. And I'm torn on that because for me to jump on board with a serious impeach Biden effort, I would have to concede that he's a valid president that is impeachable. And I haven't yielded that yet. I still say he's an imposter. That is that. Appreciate your call tonight, Andy. I got a couple stacking up here on the sides. And I got a bunch of news that I want to get into. But thanks for calling in. Always good to hear from Texas. $800 million. Has been about to be proposed in new spending over in Ukraine. I can only imagine what that's going to be. They're already moving military armament over there. We see Russia is now teaming up with other nations, like four or five other nations. this is not going to end well. The United States is in deep doo-doo. And I remember when... the last caller mentioned Baby Bush. Well, I'll tell you, when things were going south over in Iraq, I think it was like 4 days after Saddam Hussein declared that they were no longer going to be trading oil futures with the American dollar, the bombs just started to drop. So, You know, we have got a, like I said, the freaks are off their leash here. See who we got next on the line. Dave from Nevada. How are you tonight, Dave?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to kind of hop on really quickly to what your previous caller was saying, Andy, and I tend to agree with what he had to say about Donald Trump. I think that Donald Trump is at least partially responsible. At the very least, he's partially responsible for what happened on January 6th. And what's actually really disturbing is his lack of action. How many people are still in prison right now? And he doesn't even mention a single word about these people that are in jail right now,
yeah,
as if they do not exist.
Like that. I don't like that either. He should have come right out and been very clear about this. But, you know, I kind of agree a little bit here, too. Not a little bit, quite significantly, actually. But that whole event, although Trump, I don't believe, set this up to be an insurrection, he did set it up to be a rally for what it was. But it was broadcast out there. The deep state said, oh, good, we got a place and a time. The timing's perfect, and the rest was theater. They knew there was going to be a whole bunch of people there, and the rest, it was very easy setup. I think they had the wheels turning on this insurrection scam way before the event even took place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this whole thing was, it was a setup. Even if they were not like legally allowed onto whatever the Capitol Hill grounds, they weren't prevented from entering into the building.
Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't you have heavy duty security if you wanted to prevent people from entering into a government building?
Yeah.
There's more security at a courthouse.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I was out there. My little story here is I went out with a whole bunch of people, not one insurrectionist in the bunch, and there were several folks that were older and were not able to make the walk all the way down to the monument. So myself and a buddy of mine, we stayed back and hung out with them. So I was at the Capitol literally as the sun came up in the morning, right till the time that we left, which was about 4 o'clock. And when we were watching the Capitol Police, was a motorcycle cop who was there at the fence line. They had these fences up that were about maybe 3 feet tall. They were steel fences. On one end, there was a pipe welded vertically. And then on the opposite end was a piece of rebar. So they were set up so that they could daisy chain together and link together. Well, something caught my eye, you know, for hours as I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this motorcycle cop, the Capitol Police, letting people out of the area and letting them in and out, and then he's fidgeting with the fence. And I noticed that he had lined them up all end to end, but they were not connected. I mean, it's bad right. enough that they put a 3-foot fence up there to stop a million people, but it was designed so that as soon as the wrong person somewhere leaned against the fence and someone pushed on their back and the fence flopped over, the crowd is naturally going to yell, they're going to surge, they're going to push through, and it's all over. You know, it was designed to do that. There was a lot of forethought in the little minute details, so... absolutely agree that that was all theatrics.
And, I mean, this really, you have to really look at what's going on with the police in this country. When they're involved in coordinating these types of things, it's not just on that level. It's not just at Washington, D.C. They're coordinating all these other types of events, too. And so... This really points to the nature of the police state that we're in. Look at what happened in Uvalde, the response mm-hmm. from the police there. It's like it was so ridiculous that yeah. you just you just have to wonder how much of this stuff is, how much and how often are these things coordinated with the police? That's the question.
Yeah, you know, that brought to light something that's happened before. And in fact, I believe there's Supreme Court rulings from a case in Massachusetts to support it too. But police are not required to risk their lives for yours.
No.
And that is a ruling. And at first I didn't understand it. And it was really a big pill to swallow for me. But I thought about it more and more and more. And I see the logic and the constitutional principles behind that ruling. However,
but regardless of what of requirements, you're not required to do a lot of things at your job that you do anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what your job is.
Mm-hmm. A waiver. You know, I would go if I had kids in the school district, I would draft up a waiver, go into the police chief, and say, I'm going to give you as many copies as you need. I want as many officers that are going to waive that, acknowledge they got that exemption, that blanket to hide under if they want, but waive that. And I want to know what police are going to charge in there and not stop until whoever is shooting people and hurting children is dead. And they can waive that. They don't have to sit there and wait for a superior officer to show up, to make other decisions. I think parents want people who are going to rush in there and save their kids. Now, a waiver do that, because there is a Supreme Court ruling, and I think it's valid. But at the same time, we should have a task force that's going to waive those safeties, and we'll do the right thing.
But that's kind of, to me, that's besides the point, because you should have an understanding as a law enforcement officer. Once someone hands you a gun, you should know what it's for. A little intelligent child would understand the meaning of someone being handed a gun for law enforcement. It's not something, well, you say, well, am I required to use this for self-defense or not? I don't know. They're just handing it to me for ceremonial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
No. Someone hands you a gun in law enforcement, there's an understanding with what with the responsibility. I don't even know if you need to be trained for that.
I agree with you on this 100%. That is what everyone thinks, is that they are obligated to go and really put, and their lives are at risk every day. I've seen 1,000 videos where some cop just goes up, you know, in a regular traffic stop to get shot in the face. All right, you know, they do risk their life every day, and I'll give them that. But in cases like this, it was a big pill for me to swallow. An individual, you have the right to sustain and defend your life. All right, that's a natural God-given right, and it supersedes police department policy. That's to boil it down as simple as possible. However, there are law enforcement officers who are parents who I don't think would like to be stopped out in the parking lot if their child was inside during an active shooter event. I know there's cops out there that would sign such a waiver and start at least beginning to alleviate some of the uncertainty in the fear that parents have right now. I think they should train all the teachers and staff there, and they should be armed. You know, that teacher in Texas, she saw some stranger coming across the field, and she ran over and kicked that bucket out of the way and shut the door. Now, the door was supposed to auto-lock. That wasn't her fault. That's maintenance.
Right.
But when that guy opened that door, if he caught a volley of about 3 rounds right to the chest, no kids would have been killed that day. That teacher would have been a local hero.
You watch. 1 minute.
I think that there's also another side to this coin, is that regardless of how many security measures these people try to put into place, it's never going to be safe at these schools.
No.
And I think parents need these parents need to realize that. These parents need to realize first, these schools are incubators for communism. Mm. When you go to these schools, they look like, they literally look like they're designed like prisons.
Yeah, oh, I agree with you. I don't know why parents are fussing and demanding, you know, to bring their kids back to these horrible places.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I am definitely a homeschool advocate. I support and work with homeschool groups all over, trying to get them to save their kids. Because reforming that system is a long-term thing. But we got kids stuck in there right now that we need to save. That's the homeschool community. But parents need to surge onto these boards. You sound like a younger person. You may have kids of your own. You know, be thinking about getting involved at that local level and putting the brakes right on. Put a stick right in the spokes of this stuff. Don't expect people to like you because you're going into reform. But we need that, don't you think?
Yeah, but I'm even more extreme than that. I think that the whole public school system is indoctrination. I think that if you want to send a message to the government, the parents need to literally, at least for a short period of time, they need to withdraw their kids from the school system. That would send a message to the government, unlike any other thing that you could possibly do, any board meeting.
Yeah, I agree. And I told folks, be on the lookout this fall. Is when you go into your annual town meetings and they go through your budget, the school is going to want 3/4 of your tax dollars again. There has to be people in these meetings demanding to see the enrollment information in these schools and really putting the heat right on them, because I think you're going to see as much as a 30% fall away of parents in the homeschooling. And to me,
I hope so.
Yeah, doesn't basic math say we should probably cut your budget by 30%? You know, that's what we should be saying. And you're right. You are exactly right. That's the loudest message that could be sent, is for those parents to unplug. I've had it.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go to your next caller. But thanks,
all right,
for taking
thanks
the call.
For calling in. Appreciate it. You know, that is among the best things that we can do. Sometimes, you know, a big loud protest in a rally, you know, they're great. You know, rallies are for bringing people together that are looking for information, wanting to maybe get involved in building your numbers. A protest, that's where you're actually going to a site, someone who's made a decision, a bad decision, and you're on them. All right, we've got these things that have to be sustained. It's a way of life, I'm telling you, folks. For us to right the ship, we have got to, there's got to be a whole new way of how we sashay through life, what we think our life is encompassed with, and what is priority. And I'm telling you right now, when you have a choice between entertaining yourself and being constantly vigilant of government, please put the vigilance of government above your recreation. Because I'll tell you what, your recreating days are contingent upon your government not going completely rogue and out of control, which is about where they're at. I mean, they're not quite directly at the point where they're scooping people up off the streets and broadcasting it, but it's getting bad. You know, the J6, those people got scooped up. They're having a little mock trial. Our first caller kept calling it a trial. It's not. It's a ad hoc committee. It has absolutely no authority to even be issuing subpoenas for anything. Yeah, hell, but, you know, that's not what they say on social media and tweet. These tweets, oh, yeah, they're, you know, that's got to be true, right? Anything you that the media puts out couldn't possibly be lying to you now. Oh, man. I'm telling you, folks, it's a big snowball coming right at you. The Bidenistas, their climate czar, Biden's climate advisor, Gina McCarthy. She was out this week talking about how we, you know, in just chorusing, by the way, because there's a whole bunch of these shitbags out there all talking this green climate hysteria crap and switching off from fossil fuels. All right, you know, Biden's done what he said he was going to do, and he has kneecapped us in the energy sector. What Kissinger said, if you control the energy, you control the nation. All right, well, that's where we're at. All economics, all businesses everywhere are affected by this. There's no business that doesn't have factored into it fuel cost, because fuel and petroleum is used in all kinds of things, from medications, plastics, it's in all kinds of stuff. So the systemic prices of things are going up. And then more directly, we feel it at the gas pump. So she went out there and she was saying that all the trends, if you go back and look at 2020 and 2021, all the trends are for green energy and fossil fuel is going down and only green energy is going up. That is a complete setup. No doubt fossil fuels are going down. You have attacked them. You've attacked them. Of course, they're all wilting. They've been shut down. All right, bought up and then brought out, taken offline. Oh man, in all the fear porn, I remember the fracking. You guys probably remember a lot of the hubbub about that, and there was some truth to it. As usual, every conspiracy has a little dabs of the truth mixed in there. But sure, there were greedy individuals and corporations and businesses that were out there fracking and being irresponsible. Something that can be dealt with. But here's the reality. When they showed pictures of people turning on their kitchen sink and the water comes out of the faucet and they put a match or a lighter to it and it flames, that isn't because of fracking. That's because there is so damn much natural gas in the ground that it literally permeates into well water and right into the atmosphere. Oh, and there's more. We'll be right back. Got a quick break coming up. Bentonville Politics, publicpodcast.org is the website. See you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.